This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This is our review of Riders of Justice. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for a film which was released almost a year ago in its native Denmark. It's an action comedy film from that area. That one. Directed and written by Anders Thomas Jensen and stars Mads Mikkelsen, everyone's favourite, Nicolaj Lykas, Andrea Haik Galdeberg.
Fantastic.
Lars Brickman. And Nicholas Bro.
Good, nice work.
I think I did pretty good.
I think you did great.
It's 116 minutes long. The budget was, well, how much do you reckon this film cost to make, Wayne?
Yeah, good question. So Danish films don't know what they cost, don't know what the economy's like there. Let's say...
in American dollars.
American dollars. Pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. 50.
$6.4 million dollars. It's taken around about $8 million around the world. So
Jesus.
Yeah, not a lot of money around the world, but I don't know how much of a cinematic release it's got.
No, who knows, man? Like, this is not the same model, man. This is a foreign film.
Everything's fucked up by COVID, including, I might add at this particular juncture, the release schedule in Australia.
Yes, people. There's something going on in Australia that maybe isn't going on the same as the rest of the world, like always.
With, once again, a big, huge shout out to our friends and listeners in the eastern states, in particular in Melbourne, New South Wales, Sydney, New South Wales, Victoria, and the ACT, Australian Capital Territory, all of whom have been locked down for an extended period, some of whom are starting to come out of it with some restrictions being lifted. But what that means is around about almost half the population of Australia has been locked down, and so they have just shunted all major film releases until the back half of October and into November. Yeah. So, for example, out this week for the rest of the world, not that I hear it's particularly good, but Carnage, Let There Be, or Venom, Let There Be Carnage. The many sites of Newark. Likewise.
Right? Also.
And you can get that through HBO Max.
Yes.
And then there's also June in Europe has been released, but it's not slated to be released here till 2nd of December.
Right. So none of these are out.
So if you're wondering why we're covering these kind of other, so to speak, little films, this is why. But this one comes to us with thanks to Annette Smith at Ned & Co. Thanks very much for the screener to this one, which we greatly enjoyed getting. We'll find out whether Wayne enjoyed watching it. And the astute listeners will know, all those who have been with us for a while, that I already reviewed this briefly in a top 10 last 10 a while back. And I love the shit out of this one. So let's find out, Wayne, what's it about?
Okay. Riders of Justice is about Marcus, Mads Mikkelsen, who is a soldier, and he returns home to care for his daughter when his wife dies in a tragic train accident. I think that's not a spoiler because it was in the trailer.
No, that's the whole launching pad of the film.
Okay. However, when a survivor of the wreck surfaces and claims there's foul play afoot, as in it wasn't an accident, Marcus suspects his wife was murdered and then goes and embarks on a mission to find those responsible and do some revenge shit with the help of the guy who was on the train. Hijinks ensue.
And his mates.
And his mates. And his two mates. Yep. Yes.
Which makes for some of the comedy, I think, in the film.
Dude. All right. Okay.
Now, first comment before I ask you what you thought overall, Wayne.
Yeah.
How much did the guy who comes to Mads look like either A, Seth Rogen, or B, Ewan McGregor?
Which one am I talking to? The guy who comes to Mads?
Yeah.
With the beard?
Yeah, the beard of the disability of the arm.
Neither of those struck
really?
Me. If you had to say one, I'd say Seth Rogen because of the beard and the bigness. But no, I did not get that.
I was like, oh, damn, what's going on here? Okay.
Interesting.
Anyway, besides, Wayne, what did you think of Riders of Justice?
This is great. Hey! This is a great film. It's actually better than it has any right to be because, first of all, I didn't see the trailer or anything and I forgot what you said because I'm me.
Of course, right? Well.
I watched the shit and I'm going, okay, here we go. And for me, the first like 8 minutes, they play as like a slice of life. Like it's a shot of these people like presenting something at work. And then there's a kid going to, you know, school, and it's like the mom and all that sort of, it's just like, it looks like a drama to me, right? And then when the train scene comes, I'm like, holy shit, I didn't see it coming at all.
And you know, when you look at the budget, that train, even that shot.
That's why I said 56 cool. million. It looked like it was real, right? So I was like, holy shit, that was good. So it caught me right off guard and it threw me off. I was like, bravo, well done, right? Then you look at, what
keep it as spoiler free beyond.
Of course, of course. What could be a standard revenge thriller, right, is subverted in a good way by these nerdy characters that are, of course, the ones who think, because they're into probability and computers and shit like that.
So the actuarians or actuarial
the sciences? Actuaries, I guess they would be, but they're also trying to engineer it to be an algorithm and stuff. So whatever, right? So
interesting as well, actually.
It is cool. And they say that the odds of this happening are just so incredibly like huge that it wasn't an accident and their numbers don't lie, right? And what happens is the movie, while it could just go, oh, okay, well, the good guy finds out and then goes after the bad guys and that's that. what it does instead is has like characters like exploration of each of the nerdy everyone in the main characters, including him and his daughter or the nerd guys and everything. You actually find out things about their life and you see the depth to their character, things that happen to them. And that makes it so much more interesting and meaningful. Plus, this is the first time, as you said, I actually laughed at the subtitles. I was sitting there going, okay, I can now, like, from the way they're delivering those lines and what they're saying, I actually went, ha, 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 this is good. Like, I'd level up at subtitles, man. I got to hear it, like, I got to hear the nuance in English.
That's interesting.
Not usually. I mean, it's harder for it to go, right? So I would say that it's probably the best, like, I've not seen a foreign film that I liked as much. I'm genuinely impressed with the dialogue and the writing. I think that's really good. The fat guy character, Emmentaler is his name, is awesome. And there's a cool weapons training scene in it. Stuff like that. Not cool, but it's just like funny. You know, yeah. It's fun to watch. No. So I thought, this is good.
It's a very disparate film, right? So it tonally shifts quite a few times. And it does straddle. Like I kind of had a bit of a hesitation when I said comedy action.
Yeah.
Because it's also a drama and it's also a bit of a meditation on grief. And it's also, it covers a little bit of sort of, you know, you've come back from war and you are traumatized and by all of these things. So there's a lot more than just what it says on the tin, you know.
Yeah, I think
army veteran goes after revenge for those he believes murdered his wife.
Right. And that's it. It's kind of an, like you said, an inquiry into grief and probably also chance, like just the idea of chance and the realization that tragedies cost time to heal. Like just it's that kind of, I guess that's what I'm taking from the movie. But what's interesting about it is that even though, like you said, it's pitchy in terms of like it goes, you know, it's not uniform.
Yep.
I was engaged the whole time because I cared for the characters. Like you see that each of them has their own struggles and it turns out in a way that means something to the story. That's good writing. That's good writing to make it all sort of work about, and then you keep on wanting to watch, which is unusual for me, frankly.
And then Danish James May, who's
Danish James May, that's who I was thinking about. Was cool.
He looks a lot like him as well, I reckon. But anyway, the point is that each of the characters, as you say, is fully realized. Two-dimensional at least, maybe not three-dimensional, at least two-dimensional. You care about
them. Way better than you would think, though.
And then there are moments of really visceral, sporadic violence through the film as well, which kind of gives it that action sort of thriller bent.
Yeah.
On top of all that.
Mads is cool. You know, Mads is doing well.
Mads can sell anything, I think,
I think he is. He's an exceedingly good actor.
He absolutely sells the army veteran, and you believe he could kill any motherfucker that he wants to.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And he's like sort of hardcore or whatever. And you could tell the daughter's like, this guy's fucked up, you know, kind of thing.
Exactly.
That was really good. So,
We're probably dancing around spoilers now. So we'll say we both hearty recommendation. If you haven't had a chance to see Rise of Justice when it starts to stream, I believe, I'm not sure it's going into cinemas, then absolutely do check it out. A great film. And I think just about everybody will find something here. But I do want to talk about some of the spoilery things that happen through the course of the film.
Bring it on.
And we're going to do that on the other side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
Right, and the truth is, as we've just said, great Danish film. Wayne's potentially favourite foreign film for the year, or are you talking forever?
Yeah, no, of recent times, shall we say.
Absolutely. It's in my top 10 of the year as well. I'll also add that at this early juncture. One of the things that really surprised me is they all lived.
And Paul really still liked it. That's what the real surprise is.
Yeah, I didn't think it was at all realistic at all, but it did work within the script. He's been training them.
That's what I thought you would have a problem with, because at the end it looks like Mads Mikkelsen dies, right? And then, like, you're like, oh, and then they cut to sort of all the other characters.
Christmas
Day. Like, oh, Christmas Day. And all of a sudden, he's there. Right? Yep. He's wearing, like, a silly fucking Christmas jumper and shit. And I'm like, that's where Paul will shit on this movie. Because, oh, they bitched out. No, this is better.
Yeah, they did kind of bitch out, but not
to the point. Bitch out. This is better. It's a happier, more fulfilling ending. If it's just these other guys at her house and Mads Mikkelsen is dead, it's like, what the fuck are these guys doing in their house? You know what I mean? So it's more like it has to be that he sanctions all of that play and because he's softening as a man.
Yes, and it also would have been really harsh on the daughter character to lose both of her parents, which I don't think this film was going for that tonally. Like, were these other three misfits really going to look after
her? No, you don't want those freaks doing that. And that's what was cool. I thought as a shrink yourself, you might, like, this one guy's pretending to be a shrink because he's had, like, thousands of hours of therapy.
Yeah.
And then even that scene where...
That was budget James Mayer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was budget James Mayer, that's right. And But him just sitting on the, you know, with a notepad with his legs crossed and she's talking and he's like so into the fact that he's giving counseling because he's had counseling, he feels he's like, you know, qualified. But I'm just seeing him like look so confidently as a therapist, even though he's no one, that was hilarious. I thought that's piss funny. So well done.
I did like the back and forth between substandard James May and the big guy who was clearly on the spectrum. I think they make that point or whatever.
No, they made their point many times, which is actually meaningful, I thought, the way that they did it, how he freaks out at it. You haven't got a fucking processor that fast, you fucking all.
Yeah.
Right? That was good.
Some of that back and forth was funny. And I did like that scene where Mads is driving and he's like, I will stop this fucking car. yeah. and I will get out and beat the shit out of
That's
you.
That's right.
And he says something else again, and he slams the car, the guy
just gets out and runs. Can you explain to me what happened in that scene? Because he runs into the field, and then when Mads is about to catch up to him, he drops to his knees, pulls down his pants, and presents his ass.
So he's been sexually abused.
But then why is he, when he's running away, dropping his pants, and he's saying, like, please, like, what's going on here, Paul?
So, without getting too serious in a pretty dark way.
Yeah.
So, what they're implying is that this guy...
I get that he was previously abused.
Yeah, so you just drop into the most vulnerable position there is, so you won't get hurt any more than you're going to be. Because he associates being beaten to within an inch of his life with being sodomized by whatever person used to do that to.
Okay, here's how stupid I am and insensitive I am. I thought he was, like, employing a technique which I've heard of in the past, which is where you do the weirdest thing and the person who's going to beat you up goes, what the fuck's going on here? And they back off like Mads Mikkelsen did. Obviously, that's not the case.
Well, I mean...
No, he didn't He did what you said.
Back to the car so shamefully would suggest my interpretation.
Yeah, yeah, no. You are, in fact, right. But I was sitting there going, is that just really clever? It's not. So,
well, it saved him from a beating.
Exactly. So in the end, it worked. But that's horrible. Onto something lighter. Paul, I have...
What about when he shot the dude, when he killed the guy in the doorway?
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Well, no, the fat guy, the Emmentaler is his name, right? Now, this is what I want to know. Anyone out there, listeners, if any of you speak Danish, I need you to watch this movie and translate for real, colloquially, what Emmentaler is saying. Because he says, I put screen caps of this, all right, of what he said. Here are some lines that he comes in. He says, this is how he curses. If you knew how many times piss assholes like them have been on my case. Try bullying us now, you fucking piss shit. who's a little piggy now, you fucking cunt dick?
Straight out of the Darren Lenton School of Cursing.
Dude! And he screams at someone saying, piss moron, how can I track anything on such a small cunt processor? Now, what I'm wondering, people, is the person who's translating this just not good at swearing in English and that's why it's coming out like this? Or was that a writing decision to make this character swear in such a weirdly percussive and odd manner?
I'm only disappointed I didn't have a dick tit.
Exactly!
Sorry, old school joke.
Old school joke. But he, like, that's the thing. If they made this character curse in a way that was unusual and stupid and weird, that makes this character way better for me. But if it was just the bad
translation.
Yeah, then less so. But still, I'm impressed and I laugh my ass off. So there you are.
Yeah, and I really felt bad for the guy who did have the deformed arm from the accident that he was in and killed his partner.
Daughter,
was it? Daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's divorced and his life's pretty miserable and whatever else. And what I really liked is the conclusion of the film where it turns out the Riders of Justice had nothing to do with this. It really was an accident.
Okay, now let's talk about this. Because the idea here all the way through the movie is like, these odds are too high. It is not an accident. There was a guy who threw his sandwich away. Pa, 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 pa. This proves that there was someone in there who was a plant and made it happen.
Turns out,
it was all a chance.
It was just chance.
This 4 billion fucking whatever to one chance was in fact what happened. And you motherfuckers who were so bent on, no, this is actually, you know, that you're wrong. You were just wrong. And then that turns it on its head because you're like, so kind of the movie has no point, but kind of the point is that there wasn't a point. Shit happens. There's not
terrible
a reason for everything.
Shit happens.
Fucked up shit will happen. And that's why it was like...
Of course, we get rid of a motorcycle gang who's doing illegal and terrible things.
And that's why at the end you can be happy. It's like, well, we just wiped out. We probably saved about 400 lives by killing these motherfuckers.
Maybe more.
Exactly. All the time, right?
Because lives that were ruined by the drug trade or whatever else that they were involved
in. Because it was the entire gang, remember? So, and that was kind of cool. And at the end when like all there's heaps of those gang members and they got the daughter hostage and then the fucking three nerds come out with firing guns and one of them actually hits her, which is like, what the, it's actually good that they did that because you can't just open fire on people and not hit maybe someone who's right in the middle of that.
Right in the middle of that, yes.
Like, fortunately they didn't hit her in the head,
and
but
she's all like
you're
in English,
asshole.
Of course. Or Danish.
Flagging, you're flagging.
Even the way that they found where they lived through the boyfriend's Instagram account or whatever that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool. No one thought to think, hey, how about don't post this because people are after us?
But the whole point was he wasn't really aware of what was going on.
Exactly.
So.
But no one stopped him, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, because he's like, can I take a video? Yeah, sure, you can take a video, post it online.
Ask Nadia Bartel what that's like.
Who's that?
Didn't you know Nadia Bartel, the ex-wife of Jimmy Bartel, Geelong
previous
captain, who snorted a line of coke? And her friend filmed it, and then they put it up on social media for like 10 minutes. And in that time, she's lost most of her endorsements. And
oh my God, really? Uh-huh. Oh, that's an Australian rules football thing. Anyone international?
Well, she's an a wag. Instagram she's a wag. Influencer.
Oh, yep. Well, Jesus, that was stupid. Yep. Oh, well.
So my point is, stupid shit gets up online.
Oh, man. That's, yeah, absolutely. Do you post much on social media for your own thing? For
Absolutely not.
Me neither. It's all for the show. It's all for the show. And I think it's cool because it's like entertainment. Otherwise, it's just...
Nah, some people might argue this is very entertaining.
Some may.
Well, is there anything else you want to say about Riders of Justice other than, again, all the performances were good?
Nah, this is...
It was fun. It was... Well, fun's probably not the right word. It's a funny film at times.
Yeah.
It's very violent at other times. Probably haven't hit that button enough just in case people get the wrong impression.
Yeah.
It really is a lot of blood spurts. It's not at all.
It's not necessarily all enjoyable. It's just a good film. It's a well-made film.
Very well made. You know, absolute hats off to everyone involved. And I was... Yeah, this was in my top 10 of the year, as I mentioned before. Can't see it being displaced with the shitty, shitty year we continue to have. And the next fact, the next month is sort of dead with nothing coming out of any note.
You know why I think this is good? It's because everything it tried, it succeeded at. That's what it wasn't trying for anything more than this, but it actually gives you a lot of layers of interest because it's like, oh, it's a this. It's a thriller. Oh, it's violent. Oh, it's got humor in it. Oh, it's a meditation on life. And, you know, and it's like a lot of things for it's a rich movie.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
All right. What are you scoring it, Wayne? What's your final thoughts? If. Anymore.
That's it. 81.
81. Oh, there you go. I had a 79. So
there you go.
There we are. An average 80 from the countdown. Been a long time between drinks or something that high. Check out Rise of Justice if you're at all interested based on what we have said. And if you have seen it, let us know what you thought. And you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show through Podbean where we host. And check out ccradio.com.au for the other great shows that are part of the network, Comic Confidential, and Believe. And I believe... Ooh, that's it for today, Wayne.
Beautiful. That was beautiful.
My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Inconceivable.
That Wayne actually enjoyed a foreign language film.
Hey, it happens every now and then.
Catch you next time.
See ya.